Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues that you face in life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Bob, when we talk about basic gospel, when we lay out Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we're really talking about the grace of God that he has given to us in Christ Jesus, showing us his favor. We can't earn that. We can't gain it through human effort. It's a gift that God gives us freely, and we either receive it or we don't. And when we receive it, everything changes from the inside out. That's the power of the grace of God. But it's astounding that this wonderful good news about Jesus Christ has its critics. Had its critics back in the day of just years after Christ died and was raised and ascended on high. Paul addressed it in Romans 6. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" Well, what were people saying back then? Well, this grace of God, it's just easy believism. It gives you a license to sin. Well, what in the world are people saying today? Exactly the same thing. The grace of God is just easy believism. It just gives you a license to sin. And we've actually had people write to us and say it directly to us here on the broadcast. Yeah. Are you saying that you can just go out and do anything you want? Oh, that's exactly the question that Paul was asking and answered in Romans 6. So today, the grace of God is not without critics, and this just doesn't make any sense to me. How could we be critical of the very thing, the very person that saved us? Because when we're being critical of the grace of God, we're really being critical of Jesus Christ, because he truly is the grace of God. He is the one that is full of grace and truth. Now, I think the reason that people are critical is because they don't know how the Christian life is supposed to be lived if it's not through rules and regulations. You know, we had the Ten Commandments, and now the grace of God is saying, hey, there's something better, there's something more exciting, there's something more dynamic at hand, and we're afraid of it. We're not sure how faith in Christ is going to work out, so we try to drift back and grab hold of the law and say, no, this is our rule of life, and if we don't hold on to it, then we're just going to be lawless. We're going to be without any guidance in life. But that's not the case at all with the grace of God. The new covenant, the writer of Hebrews says this: when the priesthood changes, so does the law. Well, the priesthood changed in this new covenant. It's no longer the Levitical priesthood. That was the priesthood of the old covenant. Today, Jesus is our high priest. And he didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. And nowhere in the Old Testament did it talk about someone from Judah being the high priest. But right. Jesus is our high priest, and we have become this new priesthood as believers in Christ. Well, since the priesthood changed, well, the law changed as well. And it changed by becoming something internal. In the old covenant, the law was written on tablets of stone. They were displayed prominently to the people of Israel. Then they were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, and they traveled with the people those 40 years through the desert, and then as long as the ark was there in the temple, yes, that's where those commandments were. Well, in this new covenant, God writes his law on our hearts and in our minds. But it's not the Ten Commandments. We don't need those written on our hearts and minds. We already know those. We already have come into this world with a sense of right and wrong. We already know that. We need to know about life. And that's what God writes on our hearts, is this new life, this life of faith, hope, and love. That's what we have now within us. And there's several places in the New Testament where it talks about law. For example, Romans 8:2 says that our new way is by the law of the Spirit of life. And so we were set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. We also see in the book of Galatians, the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And then in the book of James, we see a law of liberty. What does faith, hope, and love bring us? It brings us Christ. It brings us life. It brings us liberty. That's what this new covenant is all about. And that's why we need to come to grips with the fact that we are new covenant believers. No need to mix the two. The old had a purpose. That purpose was fulfilled. It's given way, stepped aside, so that Christ can take center stage and be front and center in our minds, in our hearts, in every part of our being.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Open lines, 844-322-2742. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, a particular issue that's troublesome in life right now, a particular Bible passage you can't quite understand, great opportunity to speak with us, and we'd love your call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, an interesting question from Jose, who listens on oneplace.com in Tampa, Florida. He says, sometimes as humans, we try to impress God. Who wouldn't, with all he has done and continues to do for us? He says, I know it may sound silly, but when we try to memorize Scripture, does he count it against us for not knowing it all or for not having all Bible knowledge? So what does God hold against us?
Well, he doesn't hold anything against us. The only thing that he would hold against us would be sin. But he's already dealt with sin once and for all. And there's just this fabulous passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one of those passages you need to star. And if you're going to memorize, this would be a passage to memorize. He says this in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled to God through Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And here is that ministry, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So the only thing that God would hold against us would be sin. Sin has already been dealt with by Jesus' shed blood of the cross, and that enables us to sit down in front of any person, man, boy, woman, or girl, and look them straight in the eye and say, God does not count your sins against you. He has reconciled you to himself in Christ, and we implore you, we beg you, be reconciled to God. Receive this. Let this become your reality, that you are at one with God now. You are at peace with him. You are on the same page. You are no longer at war with him. Be reconciled to God. So as far as us memorizing Scripture, those sort of things, we can put ourselves under all kinds of expectations. Sure. And when we don't meet those expectations, we can feel as guilty as if we had violated one of God's laws. But just because we haven't met our own expectations, or we haven't met someone else's expectations of what we should be or should not be as believers in Christ, doesn't change what God thinks about us. His thoughts are in stone. He loves us. He's made that choice. Nothing can change that choice. Nothing can separate us from his love. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. He's for us, not against us. We're more than conquerors through him. The list just gets better and better and better. So we need to let our understanding of who we are be based on what Christ says about us and what Christ has accomplished for us, not on our failures or successes based on some standard that we've put up there as a measure for success or failure.
Absolutely. On a practical note, you know, if you're concerned about not knowing the Bible well enough, I would suggest not memorizing it per se, but find a friend with whom you can discuss some biblical passage. And as you teach that, as you learn it and teach it and get it reflected back to you, not on a large scale, just one-on-one, you will learn the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's a practical way to do it that builds both of you up, and then you get rid of all of this performance orientation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Would you suggest with that, Richard, a person going from big to small? In other words, we memorize individual verses. That's how we go about it, and then we have this whole, you know, arsenal of verses that we carry with us. But oftentimes we don't know how those verses fit.
Correct.
Within the whole. Mm-hmm. So is it more important to, for example, read the entire book of Galatians and get a feel for the big picture,
yes,
and then memorize some verses within the book of Galatians, some of the key points, some of the key verses. But doing so that way, you know where they fit and what the, yes, what the message that God is giving.
Yeah, the context becomes very clear when you,
yes,
do it that way.
Yeah. Jose, thanks for your question, and we hope that this has been a help to you. Friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live each day, why, you can drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Right now, open lines at 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and again, welcome.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk to Francisco, listening to us on the Word FM. Hi, Francisco.
Hi, good afternoon, and God bless you. I had a comment about the false teaching that is increasing by the minute on every denomination. I was telling the lady that just listened to the radio, and the pastor says after he do his teaching, he goes, "We'll be with Jesus in heaven forever and ever." And that, to me, qualifies as a false teaching, because on Revelations says that God will be, he created a new heaven and a new earth, and will be under God's rule forever and ever. And for saying that, he specified he's going to make the new earth, he's going to renew the old earth, and we're going to have a new heavens. But he never specified, you will be with my son in heaven forever and ever. And that's, to me, it qualifies as a false teaching, because the Bible never said that. Never. And to me, it's kind of sad that I...
Well, the idea, Francisco, is that we are going to be with God. We're going to be in his presence,
yeah,
as he is in our presence now. And the great passage in Revelation 21 says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, yeah, and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down, yeah, out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" So this new Jerusalem actually comes down from heaven and resides here on the new earth. And God takes up residence there, and that's where we're going to be with him forever. But the key is not so much the place, it's who we're with. And that's a point that I want to hammer just over and over and over through this broadcast. The gospel message, why Christ died, why Christ was buried, why Christ was raised again, why Christ ascended to take up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, is so that we could enter into God's presence, and so that God could enter into us. It's all about relationships. It's all about us being with God and God being with us eternally. That's what this gospel message is all about.
Yeah, if I may say something, I understand that and I agree 100%. But people who don't know done much about the Bible, when he or she hears something like that and goes with it, to me, it's not the full gospel. It's not the truth. It's just false teaching. Because, like I say, it never says, specified on the Bible, we'll be on heaven with Jesus forever and ever.
Yeah. Well, Francisco,
I understand that you got a good intentions, but it's sad to me that the church on today's day, they try to make us immune about the spirit of the error. So basically, you can say whatever you want, and if somebody tries to strain you up biblically, you're going to say, well, the point is, I understand you where you're coming from, but the point is that we'll be with Jesus right here in heaven, I mean on earth, but the point is that we will be with him forever and ever. But I'm trying to tell you that they try to act like the world by the error. They try to make it sound that, okay, it's not what the Bible says, but you get the point.
Yeah. Well, Francisco, let me end this with this. I appreciate your comments on that. You know, we hear a lot of voice. There are many voices out there. And what we all need to do is to let the Word of God be our standard of truth. So if I hear something, I don't automatically believe it because somebody said it. It's like that famous line on the internet, you know, if you see it on the internet, it must be true.
It'll be true.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
and we're quick to believe something just because we heard it from what we consider a credible source. And I think what's important for all of us to do is to listen, to think about what was said, and then take it and look at it as far as what the Word of God has to say. Does it hold up with the Word of God? Does it align itself with the Word of God? If it doesn't align itself with the Word of God, you discard it and you keep what the Word of God has to say. And you trust God's Spirit to teach you truth. You trust God's Spirit to open up your mind, open up your heart to see what the truth of the Word of God really is. He's our ultimate teacher. There are great teachers on this planet today teaching incredible things about the Word of God, and we can sit under their teaching and hear that. But until the Holy Spirit teaches us those truths, it's still not ours.
Yeah, correct.
So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us.
Absolutely. We'll go back to the phones in just a moment. But friends, when we ask you to donate to Basic Gospel, we're actually asking you to give through Basic Gospel to help others in the process of hearing, believing, and living in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. It's a worthy request, and we trust that as you and those close to you benefit from what you hear and learn from Basic Gospel each day, that you'll join with us in supporting this good news of Jesus Christ. And this month, when you give through Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace, our new devotional booklet that shows how the Christian life is really supposed to work. That's with your gift of any amount this month, and you'll find the Donate Today link on the bottom right corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New Jersey and talk with Gary, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gary.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay, gentlemen?
We can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Sir, I heard you say, speaking about lately, I hear a lot about grace. Let me turn off my radio. I'm sorry. I heard a lot of people, I hear recently a lot of people have been talking like they don't feel like under grace, that they're worthy of the Lord and everything. Once I, 15 years ago, when I repented and I gave myself to Jesus Christ, and I, like the Lord said, repent and believe the gospel, I found, like you mentioned, the book of Galatians is a very good book. And also the Epistle of John, First Epistle of John is a very good book. I found out that eventually, like you said, Bob and Richard, that it's the Lord who's working in you, and we don't have to put ourselves under a law and try to do this on our own, because that's what Paul had mentioned. You know, it's the life that I live now, it's through Christ who liveth in me, and I count everything lost. I didn't understand that when I read that in Philippians, but now I do. We have to rely on the Lord to help us live this life of faith. And if we're not doing it perfectly, that's okay. We don't have to beat ourselves up, and because he loves us, like you said, and eventually you can live obedient. You will start to produce the godly fruit if you just be patient and rely on him, right?
Yeah, well, you'll never produce it. You'll bear it. I mean, Christ is always the source. He's the vine. We're Amen. The branch. So as we abide, and the key for us is to learn to live by faith. And as we live by faith, we're going to be able to express or bear the fruit of God's love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, Amen. His self-control. Amen.
Right, it said faith working by love. Galatians is a very good book for in Christ Jesus. Circumcision doesn't avail or anything, or uncircumcision, but a new creature. And it took me time, but there is a part of us to try to avoid the sin, stay away from a lot of things that we shouldn't be there. And the Lord will help you out in love. He'll never, so you'll know in time. We don't have to beat ourselves up and feel like it's all up to us. And you're going to go through some chastisement. Charles Stanley always expresses that, and that's good, because you have to sometimes, those little storms or sufferings we go through, it makes you a better Christian.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, Gary, about growing in grace, about growing in our knowledge of Christ, is coming to that conviction that we're always in God's favor, that once we're in Amen. Christ, we can never be outside of God's favor. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. God is for us. He's not against us. And that takes time for our mind to really process that and come to a deep conviction that it's true. Because oftentimes when we mess up, when we blow it, our first thought is, God, you must be disgusted with me. God, you must hate me. God, what are you going to do to me? How are you going to punish me? And we have all of these thoughts about God that aren't true. And what God wants is for our minds to come into alignment with what's true, what his truth is about us. And it's the truth about his grace. And I, you know, whatever I do, whatever my sin is, it's never bigger than the grace of God. And that blows us away, but that's the very truth that compels us to trust and to turn to him more and to cling to him more.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing how God works that in our lives.
That's the agape love he has for us.
Yes, indeed.
And I learned, you know, when you grieve your spirit, that's a good sign, because you know you're a child of God and you don't want to do those things. So,
yeah.
Well, anyway, it's always a pleasure. You're always a blessing and confidence.
Well, Gary, thanks for your good comments today. We appreciate
you're very welcome. Weighing in
on the broadcast. You
yes,
too.
Indeed.
You too.
Bob, of course, we have listeners that are joining us throughout the program, and some probably have not heard about our new devotional. Give us a little background on the devotional.
Well, it's 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's excerpted from my new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which releases July 4th, actually available for pre-order through our website. But we wanted to give you a taste of what this book is all about, but we also wanted to drive you into the Word of God so that you could get a broader view of what the grace of God is. It's not just a covering for the past. I think that's what many people think of it in terms of. It's a covering for what I've done in the past. But actually, grace is a word that really invades our present and moves us into the future. It's a proactive word. It's an energizing word. And we want you to know about how the grace of God can be front and center in your day-to-day living.
Absolutely. And a free copy is yours when you give to Basic Gospel. If you click the Donate Today graphic in the bottom right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net, you'll get a copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's a wonderful devotional, and we encourage you to make that gift, support the ministry, and at the same time, get your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's at the bottom right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.